Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Right, so I asked you this question earlier, which I just think is so brilliant. I said, what would happen if the world's population all met in one place and all ran in the same direction? Would this affect the Earth's rotation? Well, we're going to ask Dr. Carl that question. Definitely Twitter would collapse because, what, everybody doing the same thing and agreeing to it at the same time, it would definitely end world war. That it would do, because if we actually all did an activity together, and in fact, funnily enough, I do notice that you go out on any of these days where people are hiking or people are doing a walk or a run, the atmosphere there amongst people, and it's across all different cultures, religions, races, everybody's just doing the same thing and having a lot of fun while they do it, or hating it while they do it, either way, but they are bonded by that. So I think a lot positive things would happen. But what would happen really? Dr. Carl, a very good morning. Thank you for joining. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. So what would happen?
Well, not a lot in terms of the Earth itself changing its spin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had all the people on Earth doing it, and doing it for 10 years, and then you kind of... when they get to the ocean, what happens there? You have to build a sort of bridge so they can keep on doing it. Mm-hmm. So you've got everybody on Earth doing it for 10 years. They would shift the place that the Earth ended up in its rotation. Instead of being here, it'd be over there. And the difference would be equal, roughly, to less than the thickness of a human hair.
So in other words... Carry on. No, we wouldn't notice anything. We wouldn't notice any difference, obviously.
Apart from everybody having to run all day, every day, not eat food, and manage to make their way across the oceans and keep on running through the day and night, and who knows about the world economy, and who would pay the bills, and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
And part of the reason is that the Earth outweighs humans by a factor of about 10 trillion, and... trillion is a million million. To try and put that in perspective, in your body, you've got about 37 trillion cells. And imagine that you just move your hand through the air quickly and three cells fall off from your skin, maybe on the back of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the kind of ratio between those three cells and your whole body, or us and the planet Earth. Although the Earth does have a few weird spins going on. So firstly, it's affected by the moon, and the moon actually slows it down. The moon goes around the Earth in a month. You know, that's how they get the name, you know, a month. And then the Earth spins on its own axis faster, once every day. And directly underneath the moon with its gravity, it pulls up a bulge. And this bulge is about... a meter or so, as both water and land. And then, because the Earth's spinning so fast, so much faster than the moon, it moves across, you know, a couple of hundred meters, a kilometer, you know, 10, 20, 30 kilometers, and it's not directly underneath the moon. And the gravity of the moon is trying to pull that bulge back, and that very slowly slows the rotation of the Earth. But if you give it enough time, like 220 million years, it's slowed the rotation of the Earth from when the dinosaurs first started to now by 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Incredible.
And then there's another factor that interferes with the rate at which the Earth slows, which is the atmosphere. The atmosphere weighs about 5,000 trillion tons. Now, if you've got a mental picture of South America, now... this always bothers me, and I feel like writing a stern letter to somebody, but I don't know to whom.
Right.
Part of South America is in the Northern Hemisphere. What was that all about?
Oh, gosh.
But anyway, the point is that in South America, you've got 14 major peaks in the Andes mountain chain, each of them over 4 kilometers high, and they act like a giant sail in the wind. And so if you have... and remember, the Earth's atmosphere weighs 5,000 trillion tons. If you have a big wind, if you have a high pressure on one side and low pressure on the other side, or vice versa, it can speed up or slow down the Earth. And so in January and February, usually the Earth's rotation will slow down by a few milliseconds because of this. And there's another factor. There's the weight of all the water going in different directions in the tides and in the currents. And then there's also the fact that the half the diameter of the planet is molten iron. If you go down into the core, there's this ball of liquid iron about 6,000 kilometers across, and we don't know why, but that ball of liquid iron slides or spins underneath the molten, gloopy, volcanic-y rock of the mantle, and it speeds up and it slows down, and we don't know why. It's always varying, we don't know why, but when it speeds faster, the surface goes slower and vice versa. And as an example of what else we know it's somehow involved with the Earth's magnetic field, but we don't know exactly how. And then also finally with global warming, the greenhouse gases act like a one-way valve, trap 600,000 Hiroshima bombs worth of heat from the sun every day, which in a year melts 750 billion tons of ice, which used to be in one place, but now that its liquid starts flowing, and ends up around the equator and slows the Earth down. So all of these effects are happening. But if every human was to run for 10 years, they'd do virtually nothing. There you are.
So there's the answer to that. Is there anything that could impact it that we could create? In other words, a massive bomb. I'm not talking about a meteor. Well, maybe a meteor could impact. What's your thought on that?
A meteor coming at a skew-wave angle, 10 kilometers in diameter, and traveling at 30 kilometers a second could definitely upset the rotation of the Earth. I'd have to work out the figures. But already we humans have done it by a force multiplier effect. So we humans, we only weigh half a billion tons, but we release 37 billion tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere each year, which in turn melts 750 billion tons. So we've gone from half a billion all the way up to 750 billion tons. And so that's affecting the rotation of the Earth. So it is, and also we humans have managed to tilt the Earth a little bit off its north-south spin axis because of all the ice that we melted through global warming. It's not much, it's only a little bit, but our machines are good enough to measure it.
Incredible. Brew beer in your gut. Can you get drunk from the food we eat?
Yeah, it's real. It actually happens. There's only a few cases of it worldwide, a few dozen cases, where people manufacture alcohol inside their body from the food they eat up to levels of blood alcohol 8 times the legal limit, and they don't have to drink any alcohol at all. And so one typical case was of a 44-year-old male who had a very nasty infection, and they saved his life by giving him some military industrial grade powerful antibiotics, and they saved his life, but they also killed off a lot of his friendly bacteria and fungi in his gut. And this left room for Saccharomyces cerevisiae, which is the fungus that gives us beer and bread. And without beer and bread, where would our civilization be? That fungus moved in, and suddenly he had astronomically high blood levels, and he was getting quite drunk from it. So what happens is that you eat carbohydrates, and normally they get broken down into water and carbon dioxide and energy, but sometimes, if your gut bacteria are different from normal, those gut bacteria can convert fungi who love to turn carbohydrate into alcohol. And that's what happened with this man. And so he was feeling a bit drunk from it because it was new to him. But there's another case of a man, 25-year-old man, who had blood alcohol levels all the time of 0.3, that's 6 times the limit.
Right.
And he wasn't really affected by it because he'd been used to it for a long time. And they fixed him again by treating him with an antifungal drug. And then suddenly he was sober. Hey, what's this sober? I don't know if I like it or not.
That is so funny. Dr. Cole, that is where we leave it. Thank you. As always, it is about to go 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.